So we're going to delve into these things all day. But I want to start with this. I'm sure some of you can't see this because it's too small, but it's Charlie Brown, who says he's up in the middle of the night and he's in his bed and he's got his head on his hands and he says, "My anxieties have anxieties." Anybody relate? So here I am driving to be with you today. Okay, I got to remember this about teaching anxiety today, and I have to remember this and this, you know. And I could, because I've done this for a long time, I could sense this kind of lifting up and creasing in. So the energy of my body is lifting up and my eyebrows are creasing in, because that's what happens. That's how I sense that I'm in my mind, that I'm thinking. And so then I looked out. The first time was at the bay, saw the water, the sun, the mountains, eyebrows, found a little space between them, body settled into the car seat, and I smiled. You know, oh, yeah, there is this. This is where I am right now. And so this kind of inner outer awareness, or just being able to reestablish an anchor in the present moment, whatever that is really, really important. So the anchors that we experienced, or that I guided you into, whether you experience them or not, I don't know. But just to brushstroke what we did, we started by listening to sounds. Now, if we can listen to sound and receive sound without necessarily, and there's always going to be a little of this probably for a while, but without necessarily liking it or disliking it, wondering who's doing that and how dare they have their phone on thing. And it's okay if your phone is on. Don't worry about it. Just turn it off. No, I'm serious. It's okay. It's not a big deal. But we're hearing without really having to assess or figure out where the sounds are coming from and what they might mean. This is a skill. You know, for those of you who meditate, you know about this. For those of you who don't meditate much yet, this is something that we can work with. As we can listen to sound, we can hear as our support or as our anchor to be in the present moment right now. So it's helpful for a lot of us. Because of what we're working with, your anxiety could be, okay, I'm in the mind and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Let me just listen to sounds for a moment. What are the sounds in the room that I'm in? And then we went to temperature, because not everybody wants to be in their bodies at all times. That's okay. But if you could sense something like coolness and warmth, then that can bring you to the body and notice what's going on right now in the body. So it doesn't have to be a deep dive into every part of your body, but it could just be noticing temperature. Because whatever you're noticing as far as temperature is because of where you are right now. Generally speaking, unless you're a woman of a certain age, and then that you just forget about that. And then we noticed also, to begin actually, I asked you to notice weight. So you don't really, again, have to do a deep dive into the body to just notice the weight of your bones. Right? And we're going to work with that throughout the day as well. Just wait. And why that might be interesting for you and something that you can take home to work with. And then we notice sight. Yeah. So I remember when it dawned on me that I could still see, even though my eyes were closed. Now, I was seeing before it dawned on me, but I was conscious of it. You know, many of us close our eyes and we still have color and form and, you know, all sorts of interesting things are going on. Doesn't have to mean anything. Just like sounds don't have to mean anything. Just like temperature doesn't necessarily have to mean anything. Just like weight doesn't necessarily have to mean anything. We can notice sight. And one of the interesting things about having your eyes closed is that you still can be very aware of where you are in a room because of the light. Yeah. So where we are on the planet, what the ambient light of the room is, time of day, etc. You know, we can notice that whenever we want to. So if your eyes are open, then we're taking in, you know, obviously more shape and form and color. And then we really do start to assign quality and quantity to things a little bit more. Or we can just see with not a lot of opinion. But again, that's something that we develop and cultivate over time. That might take a little while, but it's possible. And so then we went to smell or scent. And our ability, you know, to notice a smell or a scent. Now, that could be sometimes a little bit more loaded because we, you know, have deep associations with all of these senses. Sight, smell, taste, touch, sound, etc. But if you're noticing a scent or a smell, it's only right now. You know, memory of smell isn't very reliable. You've probably noticed that. And if you didn't notice a scent or a smell, then at least it brought your attention maybe to your nostrils. And then you can notice temperature, coolness, warmth, coolness, warmth. That's only happening right now. And that helps you to notice breath. Ah, I'm still breathing. Breathing in, breathing out. So is everybody else. Breathing in, breathing out. Another touch point or anchor possible for you. And then there was taste. And we can practice noticing taste anytime that we want, and especially when we're eating. And that's a very overlooked practice. Can get quite interesting. So maybe today you'll do that and I'll just give you a little bit more fodder for that before we take lunch. But, you know, taste is only happening right now too. And maybe you didn't notice a specific taste or a particular taste, but it might have just brought your awareness to your mouth, to your tongue, to the teeth, to the moisture, something like that. So you're back in your body. These are anchors or touchstones, supports to being in the present moment. And I think that that is something that all of us that experience anxiety of any form, and there's lots of forms, as probably most of you know, we all need something that we feel comfortable doing or bringing ourselves to when we've found all the energy and all our attention has gone to thinking, supposing, ruminating, getting caught and stuck in thoughts that are mainly unpleasant and a lot of times full of fear and a lot of times about something that hasn't happened yet and we don't know if it even will. So every time I am about to, you know, do a workshop on this topic, I look online and I see what people are saying about it or what the current research is, just to kind of get my finger on the pulse. There's a major pulse right now. Because of what's going on in the world. Well, we know that, don't we? But I found this this little survey by an organization called One Mind Dharma. And it's the question is, why did you start meditating? And this is a little graph. And the number one answer to why did you start meditating is to help with anxiety. Number one. Now, this is a few years ago, and it was at 82%. So I'm going to say again, we are not alone. That doesn't necessarily make it easier, but it could be reassuring. Just because you know what it's like to feel like, oh God, it's just me, right? It makes everything a little more difficult. So then the second reason why people start meditating is just investigating. That's an interesting answer. What are you investigating? Then that was at 62%. And then the third is to build focus. So let's just stop there for a second. How many of you are meditating because of anxiety? If you feel free to raise your hand. It's a lot. How about just investigating? Okay, good amount. What about to build focus? Is it helping? Little by little, it does, doesn't it? What about work stress? Some people's hands are like this, in case the boss is around or what? family stress. If you're with your family, don't raise your hand. Because that'll stress the other person in your family. Here's another one. You don't have to necessarily raise your hand with this one either, but I'll just say a friend or family member. And then lastly, and these are still high amounts. This is at 18% to help with addiction. Yeah. We're all addicted, don't worry. This is partially what Buddhism helps us to recognize is what's called conditioning. It's patterns, habits. Yeah. Subtle and gross. They take all forms. So the other thing that I found, you know, kind of interesting that I want to tell you is, you know, definitions of things are changing all the time too, as you're probably aware. And so I looked up the definition of anxiety yesterday. So the Encyclopedia of Psychology says this: anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increased blood pressure. Many of you feel that. Your heart rate goes up. So we're going to work with that. People with anxiety disorders usually have recurring intrusive thoughts and concerns. They may avoid certain situations out of worry. They may also have physical symptoms such as sweating, trembling, dizziness, or rapid heartbeat. So some of you might relate. Then I thought, well, we're not going to Google the definition, but I'm just going to put anxiety in the search. And the top Google search I got said that anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with uncertain outcome. Then the standard treatment was the next thing I looked at. What's the standard treatment for anxiety? Get ready for this. It was an ad that says getcare.khealth.ai anxiety treatment. And underneath it, it says anxiety treatment online, FDA approved meds delivered free. And some of us need meds. I'm not putting that down. But that was the very number one thing that popped up. The third listing, I mean, these are all really interesting, I think, is an ad for anxietytreatment.instacalmhypnosis.com. And that could probably work too for some of us, yeah? But it's then it says, freedom, get life back. Fast working anxiety treatment, easy and affordable. And that kind of bums me out a little bit, that last part. Fast working? Well, some are maybe, but it's just sort of a lure, don't you think? Because easy and affordable I like, but because we all need that. But, you know, sometimes we can change the mind really quickly, and I'm sure many of you know what that's like. But when we're working with the central nervous system, which is also part of anxiety, when we're working with hormonal imbalances that might be part of anxiety, when we're working with pain that might be anxiety or trauma, you know, this may not be fast and it may not be easy. What we want to remember is that we can start to turn the tide of anything that we're working with if we do it consistently and over time. And that might be bad news to some of you. You know, it depends on how impatient we are. I think it's good news because any practice that we do over and over again, we become one with it. And so you can take a jagged stone, for instance, and you can throw it in a stream, and eventually that stone will begin to smooth. And I honestly, that's how I feel about myself after practicing meditation for a little over 40 years, and some of the somatic practices that we'll do today, that I've smoothed a little bit. You know, we're not going to radically change our personalities, and you'll see mine come out a lot. But we can smooth away and find a little bit more ease and a little bit more coping and a lot more tolerance. But we have to be doing things fairly consistently, okay? So this is where the short periods of practice might come in, because first of all, a practice that's going to address a particular condition needs to be more pointed towards that particular condition. So for instance, I think it's might not be so helpful to think, well, what I have to do for anxiety is sit with my eyes closed 45 minutes a day and follow my breath. Maybe that's not the right practice for you for now. That could be what people might tell you, but that might not be approachable or appropriate for you. Yeah? So we want to be able to try these things on for short periods and hopefully carry them home and continue to do them for short periods, because that's what eventually will have some give us some relief. And we don't necessarily, even though we probably do, have to take the anxiety that we experience personally. How many of you take it personally, like you could control it? Yeah, most of us do. I want to tell you a couple of reasons again, and I listed some of these, or I spoke of some of these. These are some reasons that create anxiety just in the system, okay? Gut imbalances. Did you know if your gut isn't really great that you can have anxiety? Sometimes too much sugar can imbalance your gut biome, and maybe that creates some anxiety. So sugar can create anxiety. Not while we eat, while we're eating it maybe, but sometimes afterwards. lack of estrogen or testosterone, for instance, can create anxiety. Adrenal fatigue can create anxiety. That might be the number one diagnosis that everybody gets in the United States now. You have adrenal fatigue. I've had that. Overproduction of insulin. Hyper or hypothyroid. Trauma or PTSD. Excuse me, illness. Lots of different illnesses. Genetics. And I think the one that we don't really recognize so much, but I wish we would, is culturally inherited trauma. And nowadays, environmental trauma. So, or anxiety around the environment, and just things that we've inherited through our, you know, family of origin. So, you know, there's some of these reasons or causes we can relate to and some maybe not, but I think we tend to take most of the things that we don't like about ourselves very personally. And especially with this particular condition of anxiety, we don't necessarily need to, because it's not completely only controlled by the thoughts in the mind. And that's partially why I want to offer the things, that is why I'm going to be offering the things that I'm going to be offering to you, so that you, that this could be a complement and a companion to some of the therapy that you're doing. Okay, this is not to replace it. This is to add to it. This is to be integrated maybe into it. This is not to replace it, because talking about what's going on is incredibly helpful and sometimes life-saving. So this is not by any means meant to replace any kind of professional psychotherapy at all. So I want to try a couple of more physical practices with you next. The what I like to call somatic practices, now this is not somatic experiencing that Peter Levine has come up with, and but this is from my own experience of a combination of sitting well over 100 retreats by now, and having started any kind of spiritual practice in yoga, and seeing what worked when I moved and what I didn't, what worked when I wasn't moving, maybe externally but also internally, and combining and integrating moving the mind, moving awareness with sometimes moving the body, and how that felt. So I think, like hopefully all of you can become, is that we can learn to be our own best experiment. And this is very much, I think, in resonance with what the Buddha taught, because he suggested to us that we not believe in anything that was told, even by people that are seemingly really wise, unless we've directly experienced it for ourselves. And so this day, hopefully, is to be a giant test for you, in a way, experimental test. What works, what doesn't work so well? And like all good experiments, it may not work one day, but it works another day. It depends on so many causes and conditions, so hopefully you'll try again. Because just because something doesn't work right away doesn't mean we should throw it out. Maybe keep an open mind to it if you can, and try again. But we're trying things on here to see what might be supportive. So I'm going to show you each of these postures. We're going to call them postures that bring us into what is called the felt sense of the body. Let me just read you a definition of what felt sense is in case this is a new thing for you. So there's lots of different definitions of felt sense, actually. And this is mine. A definition of felt sense can be our internal awareness of breath, sensations, thoughts and emotions, and how they impact and affect each other on a moment-to-moment basis. So breath, sensations, thoughts and emotions, as they're impacting each other one moment to the next. That's really nice, broad, open awareness, isn't it? Somatic sensing, joined with cognition, because we're not trying to dumb anything down here, culminates in wisdom and compassion. So we're going to be aware of the body, breath, and possibly thoughts and feelings about what we're doing all at the same time. And if one is more obvious to you than others, then that's okay. Because again, you know, these are all skills that we can all learn. I think it was the first meditation retreat I ever did. There was something being said about doing it over and over again, and something about doing it over and over again, you know, all day. And I thought, well, I could do that. So it has nothing to do with IQ. It has to do with a willingness to do something over and over again, okay? So that was my definition. May it be helpful. And I'm going to show you the first thing that we're going to do. I want to illustrate it so that you can decide, maybe this is good for my body and I'm going to skip, or I'm going to skip this one. And if you decide to skip it, then this is my suggestion for you. And this might be a new skill, which is a good one to have, I think. And that is to track it internally. Do you know what I mean? So, for instance, don't move either hand right now. And don't move your right hand, but think about lifting it up. About lifting your right hand up and your hand high over your head. Now bring your right hand down without moving it. Okay. Obviously a metaphor in a way, but you could sense something, yeah? That's tracking it. So there's some energy involved in that. There's awareness involved in that. We feel that. It's a really neat skill. Okay, so that's what I mean when I say track. So the first, like an umbilical cord here. The first small exercise is to, and you can do this while you're seated on the floor too, but if we're in a chair, what we're going to do, and watch first before you start, okay? Because I'm going to show you how to do this incrementally, and I want you to get it visually first. So the first part's going to be like this, bringing the elbows to the knees. The second part is going to be dropping the head. The third part's going to be lifting the head. The optional continuation of this is going to be walking your hands down and placing your torso on your legs. So I still have my head up, okay? And then dropping the head. And then eventually using the hands to help you roll back up, okay? So I'll talk you through it. But if you're on the floor, then just start walking your hands forward. Keep your head up, drop your head, and follow the same instructions, okay? Now, some of us get a little dizzy when we drop the head. That's why I'm suggesting that you keep the head up or drop it. And, you know, you have to really check in and ask yourself about anything else that we're going to do the rest of the day. Is this kind and is this helpful for me? It's a really great question to ask yourself all the time. Is this kind and is this supportive or helpful for me? Okay, so for those of you who want to try this, just come forward, placing your, if you're on the floor, you just get your hands a little bit more forward and prop yourself up with your arms. Or you can place your elbows on your knees if you're seated cross-legged or, you know, some variation on that theme. It doesn't have to be exact. So we're going to bring the elbows to the legs or hands to the floor and keep your head up for a moment. And notice where your breath is. Can you sense your breath somewhere in your body? Don't change it, just notice it. So we want to really pay keen attention to breath, and I'll tell you why later. Now, if you're wanting to, drop your head. Notice all the sensations that you might be able to be aware of. And also notice your breath. So breath is a culmination of sensations, but I'm going to separate it out sometime. Now lift the head up again. Notice sensations. Maybe even notice the breath if you can. And then when you're, if you're willing, drop your head. And then if you want to go a little further down, you may. You can walk your hands down to your ankles, to the feet. You can fold completely forward if you're seated on the floor. Notice all the sensations that you can, and notice if your breath has shifted, moved, or changed. Notice where your breath is. Notice if it shifts or moves or changes. And notice the sensations that you're able to feel. Sensations could be a stretch, could be pressure, could be tingling or tickling, could be the sensations of blood flow to the head, could be the weight of your elbows on your legs. And slowly, slowly begin to stack yourself back up as if your spine were like coins, one on top of another. Try not to lead with your neck. So you come back up, you're in a neutral posture of some sort, eyes opened or eyes closed. Just take a moment and sense what shifted, what changed, what's the resonance of what you just did. What can you notice? And then allow your eyes to open if they're closed. So we're going to continue to do more things kind of like this. So your awareness hopefully is quite keen now to see if you can track or pay attention to these tiny little shifts and changes in how sensations are expressing themselves. You know, like feeling stretch is a sensation or a group of sensations, just like heat, just like coolness, yeah. Also, some of you, that might be easy. to notice sensations. See if you can, this gets a little bit more subtle, but see if you can notice how your breath starts to move and shift and change. All right? See if you can keep your awareness on that. And then sometimes I'm going to ask you to move your breath around. You notice that. Okay? So we're trying to pay attention to all of these things. And then I'm going to add to it. So this is a lot of balls to juggle. So don't worry if you can only do one or two. It's fine. Got to start somewhere. Is to notice how you feel about it. What you're thinking about it. I like it, I don't like it, when is this going to end, etc. Oh, I never want to come out of this, it feels so good. Things like that. That's the running commentary that every single skull has going on in its head right now. Something like that, right? That's common. We're all in this together. You're not weird. Okay. Not that I know of yet, anyway. You can tell me later. Okay, so this next one involves a little bit of the knees, all right? So you want to not do this if your knees are delicate. I'm going to show you two variations on this. And you can do this on the floor. You need to get a little creative with it. The first variation is to put your ankle on a knee. And that may not feel good on a knee. A lot of knees don't like that. So you make sure you ask your knee, is this okay? If it's not, then you cross one knee over another. If your knees still don't like that, then you skip this one, and you could do the other one again if you like. Or you can just sit and notice sensations. It's also really edifying. So we're either going to have the ankle on the knee and come a tiny bit forward like this, keeping the head up and then dropping it just for an experiment. Or we're going to cross the knees and go forward. Lift the head, drop the head, okay? And for those of you on the floor, does anybody need some help? Because this is where I can ask Lori to help. If you need a suggestion, just raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand anytime you need a more of an individual suggestion, okay? So let's try this all together. Let's place the right ankle on the left knee. Or the right knee on top of the left knee, whatever is better for you. Okay. Now, before we do anything else, this is something, just see what you feel. So, for some of us, this might be kind of a big deal to do this. And for some of us, this is so easy that we forget that we can feel something. If it feels easy to you, there are still sensations. If it feels easy to you, track your breath. Okay? Now we're going to come forward. And I want you to take your time so that as you're folding forward, no matter what variation you're doing, you're tracking your breath and you're paying attention to sensations. And you can even bring your elbows to your leg. But keep your head up. Okay. So heads are up. Notice sensations, whether your eyes are opened or closed. Doesn't matter. You close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Notice whatever you can in your body right now. Notice your breath. Now drop your head and notice the same. Notice the body. Notice the breath as much as you can. What changes? Just notice what changes. Give more and more weight if you want to. Go more and more forward if you want to. But just because I want you to stay curious to sensations and breath. So if it's just a tiny bit that you're moving, you're still going to have sensations and you can still pay attention to your breath. It doesn't have to be one way or another as far as how far you go into it. Okay, now we're going to slowly come back up. Try not to lift with your neck. Keep the neck long. Roll up. Okay, we're back in some sort of a neutral position. Place the right foot down, or if you're sitting on the floor, just something more neutral with your legs. Okay. Okay, either with your eyes open or your eyes closed. See if you can sense a difference between the right side and the left side of your body. The right side and the left side. Probably can sense a difference. You don't need to use any adjectives. Just see if you can sense it. Maybe you can even sense a difference in your breath just from doing that. Okay, and then lift your eyes. And now we have an opportunity to try that again. So we're going to try the left side. So either the left ankle on the right knee or the left knee on top of the right knee. And if you're on the floor, you're doing a variation that can work for you of some sort. Yeah. Raise your hand if you need any help, suggestions. Don't be shy. Okay. You can always change your mind, fortunately. Okay, so we're going to come forward just a little. Now, keep your head up, though. All right, don't drop your head yet. So we have two bodies. We have a right side and a left side. They're different. So pay attention to each side as much as you can, because they will have different expressions, different personality. Okay, go ahead and drop your head if you want. And notice the sensations. If it's more comfortable to you or for you, you can keep your head up. But notice what happens when you lift your head. Let's just try it as an experiment, because I think this is kind of fun. So, can you notice a sense of lessening of sensations when you lift your head? Yeah, some of us do. Okay, now drop the head. It increases the sensations. I'm not talking about pain. I don't want you to feel any pain. Just sensations, yeah, maybe a stretch. Notice what you feel. Stay in the body. And notice the breath. Where is it? Give yourself as much or as little pressure or folding forward as you need just to feel sensations of some kind and to register your breath somewhere. Play around with it if you want to. And then slowly, slowly come up. Come up with as much kindness as you can muster. So you're not lifting with the neck. You're not tightening your shoulders. Just rolling and restacking your spine. And then find a neutral sitting position or seated position. And either with your eyes open or your eyes closed, you're going to notice that there's a difference between the right and the left side, most likely. Even notice the difference in breath. Okay, and then let your eyes lift if they're closed. Now we're going to try an experiment. Another one. To me, life is a big experiment at this point, because we never know. We try to know, but we never know. So one of the real interesting litmus tests to just doing those two simple things, or relatively simple things, is one, to check in and just notice how your heart feels, your emotional body, your emotional landscape. Notice your mental landscape, your mind. Notice how your body feels sitting, like maybe you sense more weight. And now we're going to slowly stand up, and I want you to notice how you get up. So generally, because we get up and down often, we pay no attention to it. See if you can feel the mechanics of this body that you have, pressing, firing muscles, lifting to come up. See if you can just be kind of curious about this. Okay, so stand up however you need to. You use your hand support. And you can have your eyes opened or closed. You feel free to close your eyes if you like, if you're comfortable. And notice the difference in your body now. You might sense even a shift in your breath, like where it is compared to where it was when you walked in. Just go into the sense of the body right now. Also notice, begin to open your eyes and notice your eyes. Some of you may feel a real difference in how your eyes feel. So I don't want to name your experiences, but I would like to hear a couple of them. So if you could just popcorn it out, I'll repeat it. So give me a second to repeat what I hear so everybody can hear. Okay, just a couple of you. What do you sense now? More grounded. Calmer. More centered. Relaxed. Warm. I'm sorry? Heavier. Pleasant. Present. Quiet. Peaceful. Floating. Wait. Patient. Patient. Oh, patience, sorry. Patience. Beautiful, okay.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.